You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill.
This is Umar Ahmed for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. There's a huge fight week here in London, a heavyweight fight week. Obviously, a couple of weeks ago, it wasn't the result we wanted. Hoping for a better English result at Wembley this weekend, Frank.
Well, I hope so. That was pretty disappointing, wasn't it? It was a shame, but they got to the final, didn't they? They done their best. They got to the final, and all you can ever do is do your best. It's a shame. It was a shame. I hope the security is better at Wembley than the crap that they did at the football match.
Mm. Yeah, before we talk about Joyce Takam this weekend and the rest of the card, I do want to talk to you quickly about the football. You mentioned the point there about the security, you know, for arguably the biggest event of the year, European Cup final. That was complete shambles, that.
Well, it was a total shambles, wasn't it? And it's a funny thing. I mean, we've had a couple of problems over the years at football. Our boxing shows. Only very minuscule problems, but when they have happened, what really disappoints me is that when you've got a police presence, it seems their MO is to stand and let it happen and let it peter out rather than going there and doing something. It was the same thing there at Wembley. I mean, there were people there with kids, you know, their wives and so forth. People I know, they had people sitting in their seat and they were people trying to turf them out of their seats. It's just dreadful. It's just awful. And it's totally unacceptable. And then you're talking about going to get the World Cup. I mean, what's that all about? I mean, it's, you know, that doesn't inspire too much confidence. So they need to, you know, obviously from a football perspective, they need to do that. And they also need to look at how they are policing events. You know, I mean, we had trouble at a venue a couple of years ago. And they had the footage of the people who were causing the problems and so forth. And nothing ever happened. So what message are you sending out?
Mm. Of course, the other big talking point after the penalty shootout was the unfortunate racism that was faced from Jadon Sancho, Marcus Rashford and Bukayo Saka, obviously three very young men. What do you make of that?
Well, it's unacceptable, totally unacceptable. You know, they've done well. They represented their country really, you know, really, really well. I mean, you know, there's various ways to look at, you know, you miss a penalty, crucial penalty. It was a terrible thing. They should not suffer anything for that. You know, that happens. We've seen that happen with white players, you know, Hispanic players, all sorts of different players over the years have missed penalties. Nobody should be subject to that sort of situation. Mm. And, you know, the other side of it, you know, maybe they were too young to take the penalties. Maybe you need more experienced people in there. But whatever it is, it's all gone and dusted now. What needs to be learned and the lessons moving forward. You know, I can remember a couple of years ago, was it a World Cup? One of the Colombian players did something wrong, or he cost Colombia a game, and he got back to Colombia and they shot him. Somebody assassinated him for it. So, you know, people, you know, this football thing has become so, it's like tribalism now, and it needs to be going back to what it is, which is a sport to be there, to be enjoyed and entertained. And I thought the England team entertained us. I thought it was a fantastic tournament to watch. Some great matches there, and I really did enjoy them. It's a shame it's all being tainted by, as you say, the very, very, very small minority of morons who directed you know, their horrible racist remarks towards the three players in question, and also to the hooligan element. Now, because other than that, it was a joy to watch. There were some fantastic games there.
Well, we're hoping for a fantastic fight come this Saturday night at Wembley Arena. How are tickets doing at the moment, Frank?
Yeah, we're up to the capacity that we're allowed in. So we're just hoping that at this stage have the full capacity, because just too late to do it, because it's not been, you know, that's the problem. But we're up to our capacity. It'd be good. There'd be a good atmosphere. There was a great atmosphere at the Albert Hall, just with 1,000 people in there. But it'll be a good atmosphere. I mean, it's a decent show. It's a very good show. You know, Joe's is up against a very tough opponent who's comes to fight. So he's going to give Joe Joyce a tough fight, I think. You know, Joe's only had 12 fights as a professional. So he's going to have to step up. We've got Hamza Shiraz in with Guerra. That's a good fight as well. That's no foregone conclusion. Jenkins and Esserman, that's been on the card for a while now. That is a 50-50 fight. There's no doubt about that. And you've got Chris Burke and James Beach Jr., plus all the undercards. So there's some good fights on there, and I think we'll get some, you know, a good competitive night, and hopefully everybody will enjoy it.
Absolutely. So how many are we allowed in on Saturday night?
I think we're allowed half capacity. It's about 6,000.
Okay, that's still better than we've had for such a long time. So,
well, anything's better than that, but we get back to full capacity next month. So when our show up in Birmingham will be at full capacity.
All right, let's start with the main event, Frank. Obviously, we've seen Carlos Takam here in big fights in the UK with Derek Chisora and, of course, Anthony Joshua. Gave Anthony Joshua some real trouble during that fight, and obviously the controversial stoppage as well. So he's been in right at the deep end, Carlos Takam.
Yeah, as I said, you know, he's a seasoned performer. He comes to fight. You know that his style and Joe's style will make a fight, because he's going to come at Joe's. Joe's, you know, that'll suit Joe, I think. But Joe's going to have to be at his best. What I like, what I've seen of Joe, some of the press conferences, he's kept that weight off. So he looks really trim. He's in a good place mentally. But he's going to have to be at his best to beat this bloke, and he's got to do it better than the other guys did it. That's how I look at it. But as I repeat myself again, you know, he's only had 12 fights. So for him, it's... it's a big step up for him, but he's wins this fight, and he then keeps his mandatory position to the winner of Joshua and Usyk, which takes place in September. And I think that fight will be ordered pretty soon after that.
Okay. Do you believe, like, Joe's building one of the best resumes in the division? Obviously, a brilliant win over Daniel Dubois last time. He's got people like Jennings and Stiverne already on his record. If he adds Takam, you look at that list of opponents, that's one of the best in the division.
Well, he has. I mean, you know, he did go in against some tough guys to start with. I think that's because of his age, and it was you know, in everybody's mind to, this before he was, became with me, but came along with me. I think it was in their mind when he was with Richard Schaefer and David Hay that they would, you know, because of his age, that they would basically chuck him in the deep. I don't mean chuck him in the deep and just throw him to the walls, but, like, you know, let him step up very quickly, and he's done that. But you can still see there's still things he needs to do and he needs to work on. And I think that Takam will be another good name to his record. He comes through that. I think it's a good name on there. And from, as I say, from our perspective, it would be a great experience for Joe.
And do you believe live on BT Sport this Saturday night from Wembley Arena, we might see some fireworks at times in that?
I hope so. Listen, they're big guys. They'll be throwing bombs at each other. And, Joe's got a good chin. Takam has been stopped, so Joe's got to go out and show that he can do what the other guys have done. But he does come to fight. He's not somebody who's going to be, you know, he's not a fiddler. He's not going to be hanging on and mauling and whatever. He actually comes and starts, he throws shots. So, and they fancy the job. You know, Joe DiGuardia looks after him, his manager. I mean, they actually do fancy this job.
Okay. Yeah, Hamza Shiraz, great to see him back in the ring. It's been a bit of a while. Interesting as well around that, the board have ordered him against Anthony Fowler for a final eliminator for the British title. So Ham's obviously got a tough fight this Saturday, but if he comes through, he's in a brilliant position here with the board order.
Well, he's in a tough fight on Saturday, and after that, we'll make our decision what we want to do. You know, it's not something that, you know, at this stage of the game, not something I'm particularly focused on. All I'm focused on is him fighting Guerra. That's where we're at. You know, he's been out for a while now. Someone to get back into the swing, and he's 15-1. Guerra, he was a former Spanish champion, so, you know, for him, it's another good yardstick for him to see, you know, where he's at as far as these top European fighters are concerned.
Okay, so are you not fully sure yet he's ready for the top guys in the country?
In this country?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I want to go straight for a title fight. I don't want to be messing around with eliminators. What are you bloody eliminators for? And, you know, to be quite honest, we should be getting calls about that. Do we want our fighters in eliminators? You know, I want them in title fights.
It'd be a very good fight, though, that one. Shiraz family.
You're right, it would be a good fight. I'm not saying it wouldn't be a good fight, but as I say, at this stage of the game, all we're focusing on is on Saturday's fight.
Okay. Yes, yeah, some fantastic fights on this card as well. Chris Jenkins against Eko Westerman. Obviously, that's been brewing for a long time. I mean, that is a pure 50-50, that one.
It is. It's a 50-50 fight for the British and Commonwealth title. So there's two good titles on the line for it. And I think that I really do think that it will be. I think the fans will love it. I think the styles of game on that will make it a good fight. I think it's going to be a good quality fight, that one.
And of course, James Beach Jr., who suffered that loss to Brad Foster last summer, but an impressive fight. And obviously Chris Bourque, who's making a brilliant rise. You know, we could have a little star coming through that one, the winner of that fight.
Look, again, Umar, it's another 50-50 fight. You know, it's going to be very competitive between the two of them. They both know what they need to do. You know, for Beach, he needs a win, doesn't he, after he's lost to Brad. And he gave a great performance against Brad. That was a really good fight to watch. And Chris, as you say, he's a man on a mission. So he knows what he has to do. So again, I think we're going to get a cracker with that one. And remember, we've got David Adelaide on there as well. You know, he'll be having, I think, his sixth fight. He's come up to his sixth fight now. You know, he needs to put in a really good, competent, quality performance. And I think he will do it.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of pressure as well. It's fair to say on David Adelaide, considering his performance last time against Sokolowski. Is that fair?
Yeah, but you know what? He put this pressure on himself. You know, he's a novice as far as the heavyweight's concerned. Five fights, and that was his fifth fight. He won the fight. I thought he won the fight, but it was a tough fight. And he made, you know, and the other guy, he was a tough guy. But they're fights that you learn from. You know, I can think of Tyson Fury against, years ago, it was against the heavyweight from over your side of the woods. What was his bloody name?
John McDermott.
John McDermott. Look at that fight. A lot of people, you know, looked at that and thought, well, hang on a minute, that was a close fight. That happens. That happens in boxing. And it's what you learn from it as a fighter. And I think that, you know, I think that David is a very competent heavyweight, and he's, you know, his trainer really does get it. You know, Frank, his trainer knows what he has to do, and I think that we'll see a decent performance from him.
Just before
we've got some other good fighters on, you know, Mickey Burke's on there,
yeah,
Sam Noakes, you know, it's Charlie Frankham's on there, George Fox, who's Don Charles's son. So it's a decent show. Some heavyweights on there, some heavyweight action.
That's what we want. And Francis doesn't mess about with Sam Noakes. He just fought the Royal Albert Hall a couple of weekends ago and he's back out.
He's raring to go. I mean, he's a big ticket seller and he wants to get out. He keeps himself fit and well. And that was down to me. You know, I spoke with him and I said, let's get him out again. And that's what we did.
Okay, just before we move on from this card, there's been a few reports I've seen circulating suggesting a potential fight between Anthony Joshua and Joe Joyce one day in Nigeria. Do you reckon that's a realistic thing, Frank? Joshua Joyce in Nigeria?
Listen, who knows? I'll be very surprised if it happens, but you never know, do you? Anything can happen in boxing. You've seen fights in Saudi Arabia, you see them in the Fruiterer in Manila, it can happen anywhere. If the money's there, then maybe, but let's hope that AJ comes through, let's hope Joe comes through, and we may see that happen.
Okay. All right. Obviously, Frank, I didn't speak to you after the Royal Albert Hall show, and there was a lot of news around that time, of course, with Tyson Fury and his delayed fight with Deontay Wilder. I just want to get your initial reaction at the time. What was your immediate reaction when you heard the news, Frank?
Well, my reaction is like everybody. We're all very disappointed, but, you know, they're the times we live in. You know, he caught COVID and that's it. So he couldn't fight. That's the end of the story. So it doesn't matter what I think or anybody thinks. As you know, we all are disappointed, but it just has to be rescheduled. It's been rescheduled for October and it'll take place then. The person I feel sorry for, because obviously we've got the involvement with him, is with Tyson, because he's been in training for God knows how long now. He's been working very hard. By the time he gets into the ring, it'll be 20 months since his last fight. So he's not even managed to capitalise in any way on the Deontay Wilder fight. So I'm quite sure, though, you know, Hopefully, there won't be a problem with it. Bob Arum, who I was talking to, is very, very disappointed. They'd sold $14 million worth of tickets at the venue, contrary to what other people say. That was the amount that was sold. So, look, it's rescheduled, and that's when it's on.
Yeah, I did want to speak to you about that. You actually raised it yourself there. Obviously, you know, in the boxing world, there's so many skeptics. Obviously, fans were saying, is it because of the lack of ticket sales? Even certain promoters said that, but you've just said the figure there, which I think you said $14 million worth of tickets.
Why is Bob Arum going to lie about that? You know, that's what they sold. Now, remember, the tickets, it was going to be the first big event to take place in Vegas, big boxing event. So there was a big anticipation about it. All the hotels, from what I understand, hotels were taking loads and loads of tickets, buying lots of tickets, block bookings of tickets. So it is what it is. Who knows? Maybe we'll get some of the Brits to go now in October. So there'll even be more there. But there was, Bob assured me that they sold $14 million worth. I spoke to Shelley Finkel on another matter, and he actually mentioned it, you know, because PBC are the joint promoters also were in the event. And they said themselves, you know, the tickets had sold for it.
Okay. Also, in October, hopefully you won't have to pay about 13 grand for a first class ticket.
Oh, geez. Talk about take liberties, eh? It's terrible.
I do want to quickly ask you about also the images that were circulating around online, where we saw Tyson out and about. What's just your comment on that, Frank?
Well, I don't know too much about that. I've seen them, but I don't know what the background is to that. I've not spoken about that, so I can't give you anything. The facts of the matter is, you know, a doctor tested him positive for it. So I don't know I don't know what they were. And when I do find out next time, I'll give you the heads up.
Okay, perfect. But yeah, roll on October 9th is actually, when you think about it, not too far away. It allows everyone to get to the States, hopefully, if Biden opens the borders.
Absolutely. So that's where we are. And as I say, just move on. You can't, you know, not there's nothing anybody can do about it. You just got to deal with what you deal with the hand you got. And the hand you got is October. That's where it's at.
Frank, can I have an update, please, on Mr. Daniel Dubois?
We will be making an announcement about Daniel fairly soon about his next fight. It's going to be quite interesting.
Oh, you're teasing up with us with that one, Frank.
No, I'm such a tease. Yeah, it will be, from his perspective, it would be good for him, what we're doing.
Okay. Same thing with Tommy Fury. What's going on with Tommy?
Same thing for him as well. Yeah, same thing. We're pretty close to getting something done for him as well.
Okay. As I said, I didn't speak to you after your show at the Royal Albert Hall. Quickly, want to just go through the card. Lyndon Arthur, at times, Ferracci was actually doing quite well, and then he did well to hang in till he did, but a brilliant and brutal finish from Lyndon Arthur in the end.
It was. I mean, you know, Ferracci was, well, he's 15-0. One thing nobody could complain about, his heart. Mm. I mean, he came to fight the kid. There's times where, you know, I'd like to see Lyndon stamp more authority on the fight. But when he did, he'd done it in brutal, as you say, in brutal fashion and done a job on him. Mm. So now what will happen is it's all agreed now that Anthony Yard has his fight, because he didn't fight. And he'll fight in August, and then they'll get it on in October.
Oh, definitely now, October, yeah?
Oh, it'll definitely be on in October, yeah.
Okay.
Providing Anthony Yard wins.
Of course. Was there a bit of trouble with Pat and Lyndon in terms of getting them to that rematch point with Anthony, Frank?
No, the rematch was always in the contract. I mean, he said that himself. You go back and look at your old interviews you've got with him. He said it immediately after the fight. I have a rematch clause in my contract. So it's what it is. No one's... You know, it is what it is. It's that was there. That's were the terms that the fight was made on. So that was for both of them. It's a rematch for both of them. So the next one, we get it on. I think it'd be a more competitive fight than the last one. They both got a point to prove, and you know, that'd be for the benefit of the fans.
Zach Parker with another brutal win.
I'll tell you something. That has been one of my, you know, my delights in the last year. You know, the last whatever it is, 6 months he came with us. I mean, he's been great to watch. He's such a nice guy as well. Nice guy, and he can fight. And that was a tough opponent he's in. I mean, he broke him in half with that body shot in the first round. He'd done a real job on a tough guy. So there's no doubt about it. He's, you know, he's strong and he can punch. And there's some big fights for him to be made at. He is number one in the WBO, super middle. But there are some good fights, some good domestic fights can be made with him, which we've got to look at.
Definitely. Dennis McCann, as always, exciting to watch.
He was, wasn't he? He put a really good shift in. He looked really good, done what he had to do. And, you know, he's one of my favourite fighters, as you know. And he got back to what he does best, which is, you know, landing those bombs on people.
And on his thoughts on Archie Sharp's performance?
I thought Archie, I mean, he was a very awkward opponent, the Mexican, wasn't he? He was sort of rushing in, he was careless. He cut him with a clash of heads. You know, he'd done what he had to do, Archie, but it was a shame that he's got that bad cut, so he's going to be out for a while now as a result of that. But, you know, he done okay.
And just before we round off, August 28th, you announced, obviously, as you said, your Birmingham card, headlined by Anthony Yard. Hopefully he gets in the ring this time, Anthony. But just want to talk about the rest of the card, some brilliant matchups on that. So I think the one that everyone's talking about is Ennis Brown and Sam Maxwell. I mean, again, brewing for a long time, a brilliant fight, Frank.
Well, it has, and that's a cracker. That's a real good fight. So I'm looking forward to that one. And I know Sam is. And, you know, we had a... He sent me a note a couple of, was it last week, like, you know, what he wants to do and how, you know, how he sees, you know, what he wants for his future. And he comes through this fight and I'm sure he's going to have a great future ahead of him. You know, he's a quality fighter. And he's a really nice guy. Lovely guy, Sam.
See, Kikachi, Woodstock, another 50-50 fight. That was...
Well, that's a good fight. I mean, it's been postponed God knows how many times, but it's on now, thank God. And it's a good one. You know, for Leon... This is his moment. I mean, if he don't come through this fight, then I don't see how he goes above the level he's at. And for Anthony, he showed what he's all about. And if he can put in another performance like he did last time, we should get a really good fight.
And Brad Foster's got no easy task against Jason.
He's out. He's injured.
Okay.
He was told this morning. Absolutely gutted.
Okay.
Absolutely gutted. So we're looking to replace that fight. We'll just have to postpone it. He's injured. He won't be able to fight as well until October. I mean, absolutely gutted. I mean, we won the purse bid for it and we wanted to get it on as soon as possible. And it was a good Midlands fight. But we will be putting another good quality match on there because I only found out this morning and we'll be announcing that in the next day or so.
What's happened to him?
I'm not sure what the injury is. I was told he's done something to his hand, but we're... You know, he's out. All the message I got from his management was that he won't be ready. He's hurt himself.
And also Nathan Heaney and Liam Davis are on that Birmingham card, and they're going to bring God knows how many fans with them.
Well, it's great, isn't it? I'll tell you what, there'll be some atmosphere there on the night. I mean, it was great last time, wasn't it? He was up there, but there'll be some great. It would be a great atmosphere. I'm looking forward to it.
Definitely. Well, we're looking forward to this week, this Saturday night, Wembley Arena. A big heavyweight fight in London, and hopefully you're right, and there are some fireworks.
I hope so, and we'll be announcing Sonny Edwards' fight on Saturday.
Brilliant. All right, Frank, appreciate your time on IFL TV as always, and obviously we're going to speak again this week.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Umar. Stay safe.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.